Okay, I'm looking in Proverbs chapter 24, verse 21. It's a blessing to be back tonight in the service. Appreciate you being here in the service tonight. And hope you're saved, the grace of God. You know, you get Christ in you, that makes you want to go to heaven. In other words, Christ is the one that makes heaven, heaven. You know, it's not gold streets and jasper walls and pearl gates, but Christ, to be with him and be like him, that's what's going to make it heaven. And it's a blessing. So I've been saying for a long time, you can't go to heaven when you die unless heaven's in you while you're living. So right now, if you're saved, heaven's on the inside because Christ is inside. And then when you leave out of here, Philippians 1 said to die is gain. And so it's better where we're going than where we are if we're saved. So I hope you're saved with the Lord's grace. I'm just read a verse here, verse 21 of Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs 24, 21. Proverbs 24, 21. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. A lot of things changing in these days. I've lived long enough to see a lot of preachers change. And I've lived long enough to see a lot of places of worship change. And I might say this right here. Stay in the old time way. I appreciate this church that still believes in true worship, which is in spirit and in truth. Amen. And that's the only way a person can worship. Jesus said in John 4, the Father is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So I'm glad that we can worship, that is, adore him in spirit and in truth. Then a lot of people are changing these days. Times have made a change. I tell you, the world's falling apart tonight. And we're all affected by the circumstances that's going on today. My wife says sometimes, well, I've never seen anything like this. I said, there's never been anything like this before. Nobody's ever seen things like they are now in America. But I'm glad it's better farther on. The scriptures don't change, that's for sure. A lot of folks have changed Bibles, but the scriptures are forever settled in heaven. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And so I'm glad the word of God will never change. The Lord gave the word, and great was the company of those that published it. So I'm trying to preach tonight on some things that does not change. You know, Satan never changes. Satan is at his same old tricks today. He still disguises himself. Satan does. Satan disguises himself. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11:14 that no marvel if Satan is transformed into an angel of light. He transforms himself into an angel of light and disguises himself and makes folks think sin is not as bad as God said it was, just like he did Eve. So Satan never changes. The Bible tells us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. So the devil not only disguises himself, but he devours other folks. Devours other folks. He's devoured a lot of churches, a lot of preachers, a lot of families, a lot of homes, a lot of children, a lot of communities. And our country's being devoured by the devil. We got perverts in control now, and that's not all of them, but most of them, and they've left the right way and took off after the wrong thing, and it's terrible now how the devil is devouring it. But he told us to resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that's in the world. And so we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, because the devil has no mercy and shows no mercy. And the devil is loose today. One fellow told me years ago, he said, I think the devil's bound. I said, well, if he is, he's got a mighty long chain. I was way down close to in Louisiana, and he's down there. I've been way up as far as Michigan, and he's up there. Oh, no, he's not bound right now. He's the prince of the power there. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. But if we're saved, we got the grace of God inside, and we can resist the devil steadfast in the faith. And I'm glad if we'll abide in him and Christ. Christ's word abides in us, and we can resist the devil with the word of God, just like Jesus resists the devil. The devil still deceives people. He's a master deceiver, and his apostles are deceivers. There's a lot of satanic apostles today. One fellow said, well, so-and-so there said, I don't understand, but said he's a good preacher. I said, Judas was a good preacher. Judas might have been the best preacher of the 12. He was such a good preacher that the other 11 didn't recognize him. So just because a fellow's a good preacher, that don't mean he's a true preacher. You know, you got to consider what to say at the end. Consider the end of their conversation. How do they deal with sinners? What do they tell sinners when they get to the end of the message? It's not just what the fellow preaches, it's what he practices. Did you know some people preach right and practice wrong? I've heard preachers get up and preach about you must be born again. It takes old time conviction and repentance and regeneration and turn right around. When a sinner comes to get saved, they turn right around and help him bypass that. And so may God help us to realize that Satan has not changed today. And he's loose and he's on the rampage today. He's trying to devour everyone that he can. And that's why we're battling for your soul tonight. If you're not saved, we're battling for you. And if you are saved, you have to be careful. The devil will devour you if you don't resist him. We're no match for the devil. Sin has not changed. Sin never changes. Sin divides. Isaiah 59 and verse 1, the Lord's hand is not shortened that cannot save, his ear is not heavy that cannot hear, but he said, your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins hid his face from you. And so sin divides. Sin separates us from God in fellowship, even if we're saved. We're not to let sin reign in our mortal body. Now the principle of sin is still in us. We got saved, the spirit got regenerated, the soul got saved, and we got circumcised inside, but we still have an old nature to deal with. And so now, we're not to let sin reign over us. Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof, because we have victory over sin. Victory over the sin nature. Don't you think we have victory over the sin nature? Oh, yes. We're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And the Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 5, the last two verses, that the law entered, that defense might abound, and the law reigns, sin reigns. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Sin hath reigned of death, even so might grace reign through rights unto eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So in our lives, sin's reigning, our grace is reigning. Is that right? Either sin's reigning or grace is reigning. Now, since we're saved, grace can reign if we'll yield ourselves to God. Grace will reign in our mortal bodies. Then sin defiles people. Listen, when you look at the Bible, I think it's Titus chapter 1, the last two verses. Of the pure, all things are pure. Of the defiled, unbelieving, there's nothing pure. Even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess they know God, but in works they deny, being a bundle and reprobate unto every good work. And so sin defiles people. It messes people up. If you don't get rid of sin, sin will get rid of you. The only place you can get rid of sin is at the cross, where sin was paid for. You can't get rid of it anywhere else. Sin disgraces folks. Look at Samson, the mighty man of the Old Testament. When you think about Samson, you think about Delilah. Sin disgraced him. Wound up in a blackout. Sin disgraced Lot. His family wound up in a moral blackout. Sin disgraced David, the man after God's own heart, the sweet singer of Israel. But you know what? Because he tarried back at the palace, when they ought to have been on the battlefield. One fellow told me, I was preaching about the evils of TV. And the fellow said, well, there's no difference. Said, you're on the radio. Said, no difference in radio and television. I said, don't be trying to kid me. I'm an old man. I said, if David just heard the water pouring, he wouldn't commit adultery. He saw the woman. Now, we don't say much about the lust of the ear. Said, a whole lot about the lust of the eye. That's why the Bible talks about modesty so much. I'm going to preach on that a minute. I'm not just talking about women either. I'm talking about men and women. Well, we live in a time now when pastors get out in the public at Walmart in ball shorts and tank tops pastoring the church. Can you imagine that? You feel that little breeze coming through. You say, oh, I don't think they ought to preach about what they wear. I'm not a preacher about what they don't wear that they should wear. What's wrong with me preaching on modesty in this day of fornication, lewdness, pornography, shacking up like shepherd dogs? 80% of the babies born last year was illegitimate babies. No wonder adultery and fornication is everywhere now. I mean, people go so indecent dress to draw the eyes of adulterous sons of opposite sex. God wants us to do right. You can't be doing right. One brother said, well, I don't think my people can take your preaching. I said, well, a lot of people can't take my preaching. Get in line. But the old-time Christians love the Word of God. We may be guilty, man, say, oh, me and amen, but we'll take it. And I tell them a lot of places, you know, if you get up and walk out on my preaching, I'll have everybody turn around and look at you and tell them you can't take it. Listen, sin disgraces people. Homes are breaking apart the seams today. May God help us. We'll never have revival in our church in America until we repent of our sins. And don't be let known like you don't have any, because you have plenty and I do too. The only way we can have revival is repent. A lot of folks go back to the Second Chronicles scripture, a national scripture of Israel, and earthly elect people, it's my people which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray. No praying done till there's some humility. They'll humble themselves and pray, seek my face. A lot of people don't even believe in seeking God now. I was in one church, and they said, now, Brother Mitchell, we don't believe in seeking here. I said, you don't have to tell me, it shows up on you. But Jesus said, asking ye shall receive, seeking ye shall find, knocking it shall be opened unto you. He that asketh, receive. Let's keep on asking. He that seeketh, keeps on seeking. Find it. He that knocketh, him it shall be opened. So God wants us, with purpose of heart, to cleave unto him. And then this day, when you see how bad it is, there'll be a lot of repenting going on. You know, you can't get sinners to repent until you get saints to repent. Can't get sinners to get saved, you get saints to get saved. Oh, you say, well, I'm already saved. We're saved from sin. We need to get saved from self. You get saved from our own will and our own way. Don't you think so? The Lord's been saving on me for 58 years. And when he gets me all the way saved, he's going to take me where he is. I'm not all the way saved yet. And so, don't need to be saying, well, I got saved and I'm going to heaven. That's all there are to it. No, there's a whole lot between here and there. There's a lot of things you got to get saved from on your way to heaven. Ain't that right? And God help us to keep on. Keep on keeping on. Thank you, brother. Hallelujah. Listen, sin destroys. Now, I quoted yesterday in John 10, verse 10, the thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Listen, look at the lies. Penal institutions are full, penitentiaries are packed to capacity. They're talking now about they got to turn some of them out. There's no place to put them. Drugs are flowing in the streets like water in a river. There's not hardly a home that's not touched with illegal drugs. I mean, about every home, everywhere I go, somebody in that home is hung on some kind of illegal drugs. I've been in churches where people come to church drunk on drugs. I know of preachers that died drug addicts. The people never did know it, but they never did get off of drugs, illegal drugs. Listen, that's the same word. Pharmacy is the same word as sorcery. That's what the Bible is talking about in the last days. They repeated not their sorcery. Last days is filled with sorcery. Pharmaceutical things. People make you feel better. And I'm not against you taking medicine if you're hurting. I'm not against you going to the doctor if you're sick. Don't go if you're not sick. Because if you're not sick, they'll make you sick for the drugs they give to you. Because they're going to give you something when you get there. Is that right? They're not going to say, well, you know, sometimes they'll say, well, I don't find anything much wrong with you, but take these anyway. May God help us. The physicians are they that are sick. They that are whole need not a physician. but they that are sick. Well, these things never change. Satan never changes. Sin never changes. I'm glad the Savior never changes. You glad the Savior never changes? If he changed like people to us, we'd all be in a big mess, wouldn't we? Bible said, and I know it's talking about his person and his purpose. In Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, you can't prove everything by that verse. That just says that Christ don't change in his purpose, in his power, in his person, but he's not a baby in a manger now. He's not 12 years old now. He's not still hanging on the cross now. He's not in the tomb now. He's resurrected Lord of all to the glory of God. I say praise his name. Oh, yes. But you know what? He's able to save. There's no hard cases with God now. Christ is able to save them, the uttermost that come to God by him. You can't get to God unless you go by him. You just can't get to God. There's no other way to God but through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. And he said in John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Lord just sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up the last day. When the gospel is preached in its rightful order, the Spirit of God anoints the Word of God as it goes forth, and God speaks to your heart and gives you some faith. The Spirit of God draws you to Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Ghost does, magnifies Christ, exalts Christ. Not speaking of himself, but he speaks of Christ. So Christ is able to save. You glad he's able to save? Has he ever saved you? Well, I've had people tell me, well, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. Well, you can no more be saved not knowing, you can be married not knowing. You're going to know if the Spirit of God witnesses in your spirit, you're going to know that you're saved. You may not always have a lot of assurance. May not be always skipping around, you know, and on cloud nine. But look here, the first way you know you're saved, the Spirit bears witness with our spirit in the heart. That's 1 John 5:10. Whosoever believeth in the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Romans 8:9 said, if any man have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. When the Holy Ghost comes into you, he'll make you want to be holy and witness in your heart that you're a child of God. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you're not saved. I've had people say, Brother Mitchell, do you think I've got the Holy Ghost? I said, I don't know. You want to be holy? If you don't want to be holy, you don't have the Holy Ghost. You got some other kind of spirit. Holy Spirit makes you want to be holy, and the more holy you get, the more unholy you see you are. The more righteous you get, the more unrighteous you see you are. Ain't that so? You know, we need to get a good look at ourselves. Only way you can is have the Spirit of God. Pray the Spirit of God help you to see what you are by nature, what you must be with the grace of God. He's able to say, but you know what? Jesus is the sympathizer. He sympathizes with folks that can't help themselves. The only reason you're not in hell now is because Jesus is a sympathizer. When that leprous man got full of leprosy, Matthew 8, full of leprosy, found Jesus over at the temple, a man full of leprosy, said to the man full of grace, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus looked at him in sympathy. You glad he sympathizes with us? Oh, you know what? I didn't know the facts in the case. I didn't know how lost I was. Oh, blessed day when God shined the light in and I saw how lost I was. Oh, I did not know the facts in the case. So many sinners now, they've never been enlightened and awakened. They do not know how lost they are. Oh, I praise God for the day he let me know how lost I was. Shined the light of the law in. And I saw I was on the broken commandments of God and deserved nothing but hell and eternal ruin. And they preached the gospel to me. And the gospel was good news. Christ loved me. Christ died for me. Christ's blood was shed for me. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know how to pray. I just come down with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and fell on that stone. Praise God. And ask for mercy. Mercy is God withholding from you what you deserve. And God withheld wrath from me. Praise God and had mercy upon me. And lift me from a horrible pit. But put the grace of God inside. Christ become my Lord and Savior. I've been going to heaven every day since I started that way. I say glory to his name. Hallelujah. Good old fashioned dose of Holy Ghost salvation will cure most people today. Do you know that? They say, I got a drug problem, I got an alcohol problem, got a gambling problem, got a lottery ticket problem. No, you got a sin problem. You can get delivered from your sin, praise God. You can stop practicing your sin. I believe that's right. He saves you from the love of sin, the pleasure of sin, the practice of sin. That's what he come to do, save us from our sins. Amen. You been saved from sin? I'm glad I don't even like the sin that dwells in my own body. I say with Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God. Jesus Christ is going to deliver me from the body of this death. These brothers have been talking about going on. They got delivered from, had a body of death. We got a body of death here. This body can't go to heaven like it is. We got blood poison. Everybody's got blood poison. Amen. The inward man's born of God. When Christ got up out of the grave, he didn't have any blood in his veins. He said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, you see me have. When we get a new body, won't have any blood. New body fashioned like in his body. I'm glad we won't look then like we do now. Amen. Listen, this one I'm talking about is able to satisfy. He satisfies us. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. 2 Corinthians 9:8, make all grace abound. Whatever grace you need, God's able to supply the grace you need for whatever the need is. You're not going to run into some battle and some difficult time, he don't supply grace for you. It may look like you're not going to make it, but listen, if he wants you to make it, he's going to supply the grace to get you through the circumstance, whatever it is. When I had that terrible accident, the fellow, I don't know where all of you know it or not, I got run over with a Mack truck. Be 2 years next month. I'd heard about being run over with a Mack truck. The fellow said, I feel like I've been run over with a Mack truck. Well, I know what it means to be run over with a Mack truck. I didn't just feel like it. The fellow said, you get scared? I said, no, didn't have time to get scared. Well, did y'all think you wasn't going to make it? I said, I never even thought about not making it. Some of the rest of them thought about it, but I never thought about it. I knew I was better where I'm going is where I am. I didn't worry much about it. I hadn't worried about it since. Somebody said, do you know why it happened? I said, I don't know why it happened, but I know probably for the best, whatever it is. Just glorify God. Amen. God don't make no mistakes. Amen. Don't you think that's right? Amen. God don't make any mistakes at all. He's got his hand right on the throttle. Things are not taking him off guard. He knows where we are nationally and socially and morally. He knows about to push the panic button. I believe God has a sovereign plan. And we're right where we're supposed to be in prophecy. You think so? And we're victims of the time. These times have to come or Jesus will not come. The fallen away's got to come. The immoral time's got to come. The church has got to be lukewarm. That is, too hot to be cold, too cold to be hot, too hot to be down, too down to be up, too in to be out, too out to be in. Just churchy. Lukewarm. You know what the Lord said about that, Revelation 3, 14 through 20? He said, I would you were cold or hot. So then because you're lukewarm, neither cold or hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. So actually God said, I'm nauseated with Christians who won't get all the way in. Is that right? God wants you all the way in. Get a hold of truth, go kind of crazy with it. That's about the only people God uses, you know. If Paul got a hold of truth, and you know what they said? A bunch of religious folks, much learning has made him mad. The word mad means insane. He's gone kind of nuts. You know what they think about you, this liberal crowd? And liberals are a sanctified word for liars, you know. And they think that since we believe the King James Bible, and believe it's in God preserved his word first to this present moment of time. And we believe what the Bible said about Christ and about God, and about the Bible, and about sin, about Satan, and about heaven, and about hell. We believe that, and we believe sodomites are lost. All sodomites. We believe it's abomination for a man to marry a man, and a woman to marry a woman. And the Supreme Court don't have any say over that. God's done already said. I'm trying to be nice about it because I get pretty mean on that stuff. You know, men and a lot of people have made fun of me over these 50-something years. Men left to themselves will do things worse than animals will do. Men left to themselves and they're depraved. We're so depraved in our debauched sin nature. If God don't intervene, men will do things that animals won't do. They're doing it now. They're doing it now. Having it right around us now. Right here in civilized America right now. If we don't have a move of God, we're gone, world without end. If you're not saved, then you can. You better get saved tonight. Because some folks can't. Now, a lot of folks takes out on me there. I hear these preachers getting up a lot of time. They say, as long as there's breath, there's hope. Only thing wrong with that is not so. There's a breathing over 100 years in Noah's day, and they've done gone too far. They didn't nobody get in except those that God told Noah was going in before he ever started the ark. They grieved the Spirit of God away. Jesus said in Matthew 24:37, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be again in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. The Spirit of God has been grieved away in America. People in Sodom and Gomorrah went too far for preaching. God couldn't find 10 righteous in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them. They went too far. I know what I'm talking about. And I know it's not popular preaching, but I'm not preaching to be popular. If you're not careful, you'll go too far to get to where you can't hear the Word of God. While you can, you need to be still, lay apart all filthiness and superfluous notice, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul while you can. While you can. While God's still talking to you. Listen. And I feel the Spirit of God pressing me. A conscience is a God-given common grace. A conscience is. Conscience is the ability to know good from evil. When anybody comes along and says same-sex marriage is okay, that tells you their conscience is dead. Now, conscience wouldn't save you, but you can't get saved if it ever dies. When it dies, you have no ability to know the difference in good and evil. That's the way they're done in Isaiah's day. They called evil good, good evil. Bitter sweet, sweet bitter. In other words, there was no rights and wrongs. No, you know, just this way or that way. Just anything goes. See, civil government is a God-given common grace to keep sinners from doing as bad as they might do. God ordained human government to restrain sin. That's what the court system for. That's why Romans 13 says the law officers are ministers of God. They don't bear the sword in vain. You're supposed to fear if you break the law. That's what it's for. Put the fear of God in you. And I've told a lot of people, when I was coming up, of course it wasn't like it is now, but the law officers, their position, their badge and gun, and the judge kept me out of the penitentiary and out of hell. If I had been afraid of them, I'd have done a lot worse than I did do. That's what it's for. But when it breaks down like it is now, and the court system breaks down, you got crooks, judging crooks. Is that about where we are? Crooks, judging. Now, they're finding all over the country now, find law officers doing wrong, stealing, you know, doing all kind of wicked things, judges doing wicked things. When that breaks down, the whole society's broke down, and it becomes a rebellious society. Lawless society. Perilous times. That's what the Bible's talking about. Perilous times. Lawless times. So that's the reason I'm saying that is if you can, if God's still speaking to you, you need to be still, be swift to hear. You say, well, I'm not saved. Yeah, but you ought to ask God to speak to you. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Wrath of man worth not the righteousness of God. Be still. You're begotten by the Word. The only way you can get saved is to be begotten by the Word. See, before there's a birth, there must be a conception of the seed. This is a seed that the Holy Ghost puts in you. When repentance and faith is wrought in your heart, that produces the original seed, which is the living word, which is Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. Amen. Get saved apart from the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is God's good news. A fellow might not hear the gospel every time he hears preaching. A fellow might be preaching the gospel, but he might not be hearing the gospel. Have to have an ear to hear. It's not just the audible voice of the preacher. You've got to hear God speak through His voice. Don't you think that's what Romans 10:17 means? So then faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Just because you hear the preacher on those things, you heard the Word of God. God speaks the Word to your heart and gives you faith. I don't have time to go through that, but Enoch didn't have any faith till the birth of Methuselah. The Bible don't say anything about Enoch's faith. He walked with God by faith after the birth of Methuselah. 300 years. There's nothing about Enoch's past in the Bible. That shows you when you get saved, your past is gone. Noah being one of God's things not yet seen, by faith, move a fear and prepare an ark. In other words, when God spoke to him, he gave him faith. Now, I know there was no Bible then. No Bible back there. I understand that. But now, we preach the Word of God, and every time people comes in and hears us, that's no time to get faith. God speaks it to you. You hear the gospel. I heard preaching all my life. I suppose it's preaching the gospel. I don't know that. I suppose it was. But I remember when God spoke it to my heart, and it became good news to me. Ever since the gospel became good news to me, it's been good news ever since it became good news. I never have heard the gospel. It wasn't good news since it became good news in 1957. Salvation not changed. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. The goodness of God. The Bible reminds us in Titus 3, in verse 3, we also ourselves are sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving devil, lust and pleasure, even malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. After the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared. Not works of righteousness we've done, but according to His mercy He saved us. Here's how He done it, by the washing of regeneration and renewed of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's the goodness of God that brings salvation. The goodness of God. God's been good to everybody. Hasn't He been good to everybody? Can we all say, God's been good, I'm saved because of the goodness of God. I'm saved because of the gospel of God. In my hand no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. The gospel. Jesus Christ is the person of the gospel. And listen, salvation not changed because it's by grace through faith. Now the hard shells, they say, everybody knows what a hard shell is, don't you used to call them? They believe in whatever is to be, will be, whether it happens or not. Well, let me tell you something. Grace, we're saved by grace through faith. Just because God's the God of all grace, it doesn't mean you're saved without faith. We're saved by grace through faith. Then that receives the gift of God. Yeah. Romans 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, when we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Yeah. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So we stand by faith in this grace, justified. In other words, it's impossible to please God without faith. The only thing that connects you with God is faith. Now, God has to give you faith. Faith, come to hear and hear the Word of God. Then it's your responsibility to exercise that faith in Christ. Faith in Christ. Repentance toward God. Faith toward Christ. Some of y'all heard me go with that. The sinner must be changed. I'm talking about things that never change. But the sinner must be changed in order to get to heaven. He's got to be changed. He's got a bad nature. Now, faith must be exercised. Repentance is a work of God in your heart, not necessarily going to a Baptist altar, though that might go with it. Repentance is a work of grace in your heart. Man don't repent on his own. God did a solid work of repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. So God breaks the heart and the will. How many times the word breaks the heart and the will? And your attitudes change toward God. Repentance toward God. We've offended God. You've trampled on God's law. We broke the law. We're cursed under the law. Forget what we deserve under the law. You go down to hell, cursed of God. That's why Christ upon the cross had to become a curse. Redeemed us, become the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. In other words, Christ had to take our sin, become our sin. God made him to be sin. His soul's made an offering for sin. Isaiah 53, verse 10. Not just his body, his soul's made an offering for sin. God made him to be sin. God blacked out the universe for 3 hours, and Jesus Christ's soul made an offering for sin, and he underwent the wrath of God on the cross and suffered our hell and paid off our debt on the cross. And satisfied, when he cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, the earth quaked and the rocks rent, the waves ran and trained from top to bottom, and God was saying, I'm satisfied with what my son has done on the cross for sinners. You couldn't satisfy God, and I couldn't satisfy God. Christ come down here and satisfied God in our stead. That's why repentance is toward God and faith is toward Christ. Christ is our substitute and our sin offering and our Savior. And once you repent, you have a change of attitude toward God. And listen, if you have true repentance, your attitude's changed. Actions are controlled by attitudes. And if your attitude's changed toward God, it'll always be changed toward God. You love him because he first loved you. If your attitude's been changed toward sin, you won't never like sin no more. You're saved from sin, and you won't even like the sin that dwells in your own body. You won't try to say, you won't be self-righteous and say, well, I don't think I have anything wrong with me. We know we got a whole lot wrong with us. Don't we know that? Self-righteous rags, you know. You never get nowhere like that. If your attitude's changed towards sin, then you can see it like the Bible describes it. Your attitude's changed toward the sovereign. You love him and you want him to have reign over you. Faith toward Christ. Faith connects you with Christ. Christ connects you with God. He's the mediator. He's the go-between. He's the propitiation, the satisfaction. Not for our sin, but for the sins of the whole world. He's an advocate. When we do wrong, he's an advocate. He talks to God for us. God becomes our judge when we sin. We're told not to sin. Then we're told if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ the righteous. So we don't have to go on in our sins. We can confess our sins, and God's faithful just to forgive us our sins. So we need forgiveness every day. Constantly confessing our sins. Have you ever heard the gospel? That's good news. God's not going to change. God's not going to change it and lower it down. He's not going to change the requirements of salvation. Still repentance toward God, faith toward Christ. If you'll come to Christ with a broken heart and a contrite spirit and repentance toward God and faith toward Christ, if you'll come, he's promised, John 6, 37, he wouldn't cast you away. He wouldn't cast you out. If you come to him, then you can come to a Baptist altar and get cast out. Come shake hands with a preacher and get cast out, but you can't come to him and get cast out. See, the reason we want you to come down forward is to acknowledge publicly that you need a personal Savior. And so the reason we try to help folks when they come down about their knees, we try to tell them what the Bible says about themselves and about the Savior. What they need inside is a Holy Ghost dose of salvation. And that'll make them a new creature in Christ. They'll make somebody a good church member once God gets on the inside of them. Look here. Anything short of that. And you know, I know I dwell on this a lot, and probably a lot of you get tired of hearing it. But see, I've lived long enough to see about all the folks now over the country, about all of them's professed from 4 years old up. And they've made some kind of a shallow Sunday morning profession of faith. And still living sin, still have no respect for God nor his church or scriptures. Just go right on, get to be teenagers, just go wild, you know. And that's really sad, ain't it? It's really sad. Really sad. What you need is a deep work of grace in your heart to make you a new creature, keep you straight. Now, I don't mean you always do right. And I mean you wouldn't make no mistakes and have no battles and lose some battles. But it means way down inside, you'll be converted to the Lord. It means when you do wrong, you'll be the first one to know it. And your spirit will be touched. And your will will be broken again. And you'll have a repentant heart toward God again and again and again and again. May God help us have judgment day honesty. Because, boy, I tell you, we're nearing the shore now. We're nearing the shore. If I could get saved for you, I would. I would. I can't do it. It's an individual proposition between you and the Lord. How many folks are saved tonight? Let's see. You're saved? You know you're saved? God bless you. Let's bow our heads for a closing prayer. We're going to have a song here just a minute. Give you an invitation if you need to pray. There are probably a lot of Christians need to pray. I know a lot of times I need to pray. I'm short on that, you know. May God help us to be honest. If there wasn't here tonight, it's not saved. You don't know that you're born again. You don't know that you're washed in the blood. Would you let me pray for you? An uplifted hand, just say with that move, preacher, pray for me. I'm not going to put any pressure on you. I'm not coming back to try to put any pressure on you. I just want to know if you'd like to be prayed for. I'd like for praying people to pray for you. You don't want to meet God in your sins. Anyone, anywhere? Father, we thank you now in Jesus' name for this time we've enjoyed together. We pray that you'd honor the word tonight, seal up in hearts. Give us honesty, Lord, of heart, both saint and sinner. Might be some saints here, Lord, needs to pray and draw nigh to you, Lord, and cleanse our hands and purify our hearts. Help us, Lord, to know what to do and how to do it. We pray in Jesus' blessed name of thanksgiving.